Barrett, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Tune Under podcast. We are the Southern Hemisphere's biggest, best, and only dedicated podcast to all things Newcastle United. I'm joined by Mark, and we're going to be talking about the up-and-coming tour of Australia for Newcastle United, and the big thing, 10 remaining games of the season. How can it impact us, and where will we finish come that game against Brentford? How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing all right. A few technical glitches, but we seem to have at least got online now. My camera has unfroze, or I've got a new camera. So, yeah, let's crack on with it before it dies again. So make hay while the sun shines and all that.
Absolutely. Before we do jump into it, again, if you don't already subscribe to this YouTube channel, please do so. And if you want to follow us on socials, we are available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or X, whichever you want to go by. And you can also get us on the audio platforms as too. Please give us a 5-star rating on that if you can. So, over the weekend, Mark, we got wind of notification that Newcastle United were going to play just one game against Tottenham Hotspur at the MCG on May the 22nd. When this news broke, were you thinking, this is just a little bit of a media trying to put two and two together and getting 25, that sort of thing? Or were you genuinely excited that it could be one of those stronger rumours that may happen given it's only a few days after the season ends?
I will admit the timing for me was a bit sceptical, and I'm sure a few others were a little bit unsure of what was going to happen, given the fact that it's like literally 3 days after the season's finishing. But by all accounts, it like went through pretty quickly. And then before we knew it, we were planning our trips down to Melbourne, because it was all confirmed very, very quickly. But yeah, for me, it was all a bit like sort of confused and not really sure what was happening. But yeah, it quite quickly became apparent that it was actually happening. And before we knew it, there was two games happening, not just the one.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first game is against Spurs on the 22nd at the MCG, which, if I'm correct, is the largest stadium in the Southern Hemisphere with a capacity of 100,000. Now, it's not really a traditional football, as in the round football ground, more of the egg-shaped EFL type ground, you reckon, Mark?
The one you don't like. Look, I grew up watching the West Coast Eagles, so I'm a big AFL fan from the younger days. Probably before I actually even got into the Premier League and started following Newcastle. So that's kind of like it's pretty borderline. I'm pretty sure I started following AFL when I was back in 86, and it was probably a couple of years later I started following Newcastle. So for me, the Aussie rules is the Aussie football of choice, but not for this trip. It's pretty exciting. I mean, I guess from a Newcastle fan standpoint, there's this expectation of some upheaval in the summer, some squad rebuilding. So this may actually be a chance to see some players that, you know, may not be here for next season. But whatever happens, I think I put something out on social media where it's really important that fans are not expecting a star-studded lineup. This is, as we said, three days after the final game of the season, flying out to Australia. There's a European Championships on this summer, so Euro 2024 is going to snap up a few of our sort of high-profile players, shall we say. I'm sure there's other international games on as well. So some of our big-name players will probably end up jetting off. But look, it's Newcastle. It's in Australia, the club's coming over. It's a big PR exercise, yes, but we all, as fans, get to experience this all live. We get to celebrate it. We get to, you know, even if we get to see Matt Ritchie kicking shit out of a corner flag, I'm all in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am absolutely 100% up for that. The second game, it's still in Melbourne, in which, according to our fellow Victorians, is the sporting capital of Australia, which I don't think we quite agree with that, being here in Queensland. But that second game is at the Marvel Stadium. That capacity is almost half of the MCG, but that one is more of your traditional type football ground with almost your square stands and stadium type thing. And no, you're a lot closer to the pitch on that one.
It's literally another. It's another all encompassing ground. It's it plays cricket. It plays as it is football there.
Really.
It's another oval, unfortunately. It is probably a little bit closer in. It's not quite as large as the MCG, so fans will be a little bit closer in on the pitch. I'm not sure if you can. My memory is failing me here. I'm sure one of the other lads from Melbourne will correct me on this, but I thought Marvel Stadium used to actually have some sort of retracting seats or something so that they can actually put seats in closer for concerts and stuff like that. So there is every likelihood that we could end up with a little bit better atmosphere, a little bit closer to the pitch action for the second game. That is going to be against an Australian A-League All-Stars team, I believe. Make of that what you will.
Yeah.
I'm sure Demi will be on here powering through the pro A-League talk, but the rest of us are less than convinced.
Let's say the A-League still exists come mid-time, the way everything's been going on about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game is on the 24th. That's a Friday night kickoff, 5:15 in the evening on that one. And that's the game I'm looking forward to most, to be honest. Don't know why I prefer that one over the Spurs, just my own personal preference. But in terms of what this means to us Newcastle fans, Sharon Australia, whether expat like myself or an Aussie like yourself who chose to support Newcastle for whatever reason that would be, what does this mean to us fans here in Australia?
Oh, it's massive. It's like, I don't think we thought this was happening this soon into the new ownership. I know we've had the tour to the US last season, and you know, in hindsight, you know, 2020, the money probably outweighed the sensible head in terms of giving us like a pretty hectic tour of the US pre-season for what was going to be an already pretty busy season. I think maybe we could have done without that. Again, this is like 3 days, as we said, 3 days after the final game of the Premier League season. So again, not exactly the best of timing, but look, we just have to take what we get. I mean, we're around the other side of the world from St. James's Park. This is as close as some of us are ever going to get to going to a live game. Look, I'm lucky in that I worked in Newcastle. I had a season ticket for 8 years while I was working in there. And, you know, I wouldn't trade that for anything. And it's a shame that now it's so difficult to end up getting tickets when you do go to the try and catch up with some games when you're over in the UK. Look, I'm buzzing. I think this is a huge opportunity for the fans, for the club to touch base. We're looking to see if we can get some events going, some sort of like live vlogs outside the ground, interviewing some other fans. We've got fans coming from Perth, yourself coming down from Mackay. I'm going down from Brisbane. I think Jack's going to take his daughter down from Brisbane as well. So, you know, these are flights that would potentially get you most of the way across Europe. And so fans coming over from WA, it's a 5-hour flight or whatever it is. You know, let nothing be said that we're all part-time plastics and we don't actually follow this club because we love this club. I think we're all disproving that myth, as should we say.
Absolutely. And just to put into context, for those people who've never been to Australia or don't realize how big it is, for those traveling from Perth to get to the MCG, it's actually more of a distance to travel that than it is to fly from Newcastle to Istanbul. And the distance I'll be traveling from Mackay, which is in the central coast of Queensland, to the MCG is the equivalent, it's actually further than driving from Newcastle to Paris, then on to Dortmund, then on to Milan, who are in our Champions League group today. So there's a lot of traveling done by a lot of fans, and there will be a lot of money spent, but I guarantee you every single dollar will be worth it just to see those players run out in a black and white shirt. But what will be the first time for me in close to 7 years. So yeah. I'm absolutely looking forward to it, and the days can't come quick enough. Everyone on social media has been buzzing. We've been getting DMs left, right, and center for people asking when tickets go on sale, how much they think they're going to be, how many of us are going down, that sort of thing. But tickets go on sale early next week, I believe. There will be a pre-sale, and rumor has it ticket prices will start from $59, but that is yet to be confirmed. But that is going to be an absolutely monumental event. Like Mark said, we'll be trying to do some fan interaction down there ourselves. So if you want to be interviewed, be part of the YouTube channel or anything like that, give us a heads up. We'll be more than happy to talk to any fans throughout the few days that we will be down there. But we're now going to move on to the lesser important stuff, or more important stuff, depending on how you view it. And that is the remaining 10 games of the season. So we have a stack of fixtures coming up. And I wouldn't want to say the fixtures are a huge tough run, but I'll just run through the remaining 10 that we have. So we've got West Ham at home, Everton at home, Fulham away, Spurs at home, Man United away, which is due to be rescheduled due to their FA Cup semi-final tie against City. Sheffield United at home, Burnley away, Brighton at home, Brentford away, and Palace away. The Palace game, again, is one that has been postponed, and a date is yet to be rescheduled for that one. But the season will come to an end on that Brentford game, where we will end back in the capital, just like we did against Chelsea last season. So, Mark, 10 games to go. What's your thoughts on those 10 games and the running for the fixtures?
If you look on paper, that's actually, you know, it's, I think as fans this season, we've had this dichotomy of, you know, you've got this expectation and, you know, how well we did last season and how well we know we're capable of playing. I think the problem is we've just not seen it regularly enough. You look, we beat PSG 4-1 at home in the Champions League. That was great. But we've really struggled, certainly of late. And you know, look, we've been on this podcast plenty over the last month or 2 months or whatever, lambasting injuries, making excuses, and it kind of does feel tiring that we're constantly having to come up with these excuses as to why we're not playing well. But the truth is, we're not playing well because we've been missing so many players. The players that are coming back don't really get that time to settle. You know, we've been told Sean Longstaff's playing with an injury. So confidence is probably not as high as otherwise should be given that run of fixtures. All we can say is, look, Bruno's kind of said it. It's been intimated on a few other sort of podcasts and what have you, and YouTube channels. This is 10 games to save our season. I'm not sure it's quite that dramatic, but it would be nice to finish the season off with a bang now that, you know, that this is our kind of last hurrah at kind of pushing up the table and maybe securing a European spot for next season.
Well, the season definitely ends on an easier note than what it started. That's for sure. I don't think anyone has ever had a tougher start to a season than what we have. Not in recent memory anyway. But yeah, some of those fixtures that we've got towards the last three games, Burnley away, Brighton at home, then Brentford away. Yes, there are some tough fixtures in there. But it was round about two or three games left of the season when we played Brighton at home and we annihilated them in that second half of that push for Champions League. There is nothing to suggest that we can't do it again. Same with other teams. Is there any matches in there that are the standout fixtures for yourself?
I'd be very... We always seem to play well, or vice versa. Brighton always play badly whenever Brighton do visit St. James's Park. So that is kind of like almost your home banker of a game, which naturally means we're probably going to lose it quite badly. such is life as a Newcastle fan. I think we've all been scarred for too many years in the wilderness under Ashley that I think we've had a bit of a dose of real life, I guess, realism kind of kicking back in again. I'm looking forward to Brighton at home. I think that is a winnable fixture. I think for me though, it starts this weekend against West Ham. If we can win against West Ham at home, and we can then mm-hmm. use that as a bit of momentum, get the crowd back on side, because you know the crowd have crowd have lulled a little bit of recent times as well, which is natural. I think everyone was riding such a high after last season that I think as soon as we had a stumble, and it was going to happen eventually, I think as soon as we had a stumble, everything was going to kind of, all the wheels were going to fall off. Everyone was going to get sort of a little bit down in the dumps and going, oh, well, what happened? It wasn't supposed to be like this. We were told we were going to conquer the world and nothing was going to stop us. I think we're all a little bit more realistic on this channel. I think we've kind of got a grip on how good we are, how far we've come, and more importantly, that we understand that it's a longer term process. For me, if we can get back on track against West Ham, I think that signals, hey, we're still in it, and hopefully it generates a little bit of momentum that we know we're a confidence team. We're getting a few back from injury at the moment. Hopefully, if you can kind of find some form, we can sort out our defense, start scoring some goals, and really kind of push on for the rest of the season. But for me, the Brighton game is a clear banker. That has to be a win given the usual form. But it all starts against West Ham.
Absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't agree more on that one. The other few games which to me are a standout is Man United away. I don't think we've ever done a Premier League double over Man United. So that would be something nice to do. Obviously, we beat them 1-0 earlier in the season when Gordon got the winner. And we also beat them 3-0 in the Carabao Cup. So to do a season treble over them would be absolutely fantastic. And just to see a certain someone's comments on Twitter, how for a reason it's nobody else's fault, but it's something to do with him. I'm not going to name names on that one, but those in the know will know who I'm on about. Other one is Spurs at home. Last season was obviously a monumental game. Those first opening 21 minutes were just mind-blowingly incredible. I can't imagine it'll be the same type of game this season in a good few weeks when we play them at St. James's.
I don't think we're in for that. Hopefully the crowd doesn't start turning on the players if we haven't scored 5 in the first 20 minutes again. Yeah. You know, it's going to be tough. Spurs have been playing well this season. They've dropped off a little bit from the early season Ange boost that we saw. They certainly didn't seem to miss Harry Kane in the slightest when he took off for Germany. But look, I think We've just got to concentrate on our home games. I think Spurs is an eminently winnable game if we're on form and they fail to turn up. I think Man United away from home is always going to be tricky. I don't expect us to get anything at Old Trafford. I don't think we ever do well there. We haven't been playing well on the road this season, full stop. So I don't see why that's going to stop when we go to Old Trafford and clearly have like refereeing bias and all the rest of it that clearly doesn't exist, but we all know does.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a few teams that are still pushing for Europe that are within our fixtures. So West Ham, Man United, Spurs and Brighton, they are all shouting for a place in some form of European competition next season. With Fulham may or may not be pushing up there towards the end of the season as well. Does the fixtures against teams pushing for that level of competition as well add just that extra bit of spice to the game?
Yeah, it probably does, to be honest. I mean, if you're playing teams around you that you're fighting for positions, then at least you know that, you know, your destiny's in your own hands. If we win all of our games against teams around us and put enough points on the board in the other games, then we guarantee that we've got some European football next season. You know, it's in our hands. We've got a say in our own destiny. It's not like we're crossing our fingers that we get some results and hope that teams drop some points. If we get our results, then they have dropped points because we've taken them off them. So, yeah, look, I think it's important that we maximize the potential of those games to turn our season around somewhat. I mean, I'm not one of these that's all doom and gloom with this season. I think we've had some highlights. We've played well in spaces. I think we've just underperformed from where we maybe thought we were going to, in much the same way as I think we've overperformed from last season to get into the Champions League to start with. If you look at the squad as a whole, I think we've still got a lot of very, I don't want to belittle the players and say average players, but I know a lot of people feel that way. I think if you start looking at some of the players we have, I think they have limitations, and I think we're all aware of those. If we can maximize the maximize what they can do right and minimize what they're going to do wrong, and get the most out of them, then they're still useful players for us. This season, they've been below par. Last season, they probably were running on adrenaline and overperformed, overachieved somewhat. And I think, yeah, for us, I think it's more just a case of we've got the potential there if we sort ourselves out and get our mindset. So hopefully, look, Eddie Howe's taken everyone to one side and kind of drawn a line under the season so far and said, right, this 10 games, this is our mini season. We're going to see how far we can sort of finish up the table. I'm going to ask you a question, and I know you're hosting, so I apologize in advance, but how much do you feel that the fact that there are going to be some likely changes and some players out the door in the summer, how much do you think that's affecting that, not team spirit as such, but their performances, knowing that either there's more pressure on them or they've kind of already resigned themselves that they're leaving?
I think it swings both ways, doesn't it? Because they can either play out the skin and put themselves in the shop window to get that more lucrative contract for the club they may potentially be signing for, and we get a larger fee for that reason as well. Or yeah, they can play average or below average, whatever. They go to a lesser club, they get a lesser contract and so on. So it's up really the player. If they want to fulfill their potential and fill their destiny and maybe move on to a bigger club. If Bruno does move on, he will only go on to a bigger club. There's lots of talk of him heading to Man City in the summer, whether or not that will happen. Time will tell. But other fringe players, even call them fringe players now, so there may be the likes of Almiron, maybe Jacob Murphy could move on. Lascelles has just signed a new contract extension, so he's going to go, and there's quite a few that are out of contract. So that's going to leave our squad a little bit thin. And one of the key players that could potentially be leaving, that kind of bothers me for the team morale and how he just keeps an eye on the youngsters, is Matt Ritchie. I don't think he should be kept on as a player, but he should be kept on as a coach. Because the way he puts his arm around the youngsters and just keeps an eye on them, he's a very level-headed person off the pitch. On the pitch, as we know, goes Raj, and that's what you want to see. But yeah, I think keeping him around as a coach, and I think that's something maybe Eddie's talking about, because he is one of probably the leaders of the locker room, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'd love to see Richie stay on as a coach. I think he's great for that backroom staff. But the last thing we want is to go into next season with Matt Ritchie as a usable member of the squad, so to speak. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy if like he is literally, if he wants to stay on for another season and he is literally that 25th person in that 25-man squad, and we've literally got the likes of Anderson and Miley and a few others kind of pipping him anyway who don't need a squad place, then to me that's an ideal scenario. But, you know, he's limited in what he can do for us now. It's as simple as that. I mean, he scored the equalizer for us earlier in the season, so he's still kind of got something to contribute. But you kind of hope that's going to be limited to early rounds of the cup games maybe next season. Yeah. Maybe if we do manage to squeeze Europe, he kind of fills in and shows a bit of leadership out on the pitch when we're resting everyone in terms of playing some lower league, low tier European club in the early rounds. But look, I love Matt Ritchie. I think he's been fantastic for this club. So, you know, if he doesn't want to hang on, totally get it. He wants to go and play football somewhere else. I wish him all the best, but I would definitely love to see him still be a part of the backroom staff at some stage in Newcastle's future.
Yeah, I mean, some of the players, to be honest as well, the game at the Marvel Stadium could be the very last game they actually get for Newcastle. So the likes of Richie, Dummett and so on, it could be their swan song, their final goodbye to play in a black and white shirt. But I don't think their contracts expire until I think it's the 1st of June. For how the season works, that type of stuff. So that could be their final game. It could be Paul Dummett's testimonial. Who knows? The lad's due one. He's been at the club since he was, 6 years old or something like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Dummett is another one who, as much as I like seeing the club filled with local lads. He's another one who probably needs to be moved on as well. Same with the likes of Gillespie. He just does nothing but collect a paycheck as far as I'm concerned. He's not good enough to be in and around the first team. But what we're going to know is we've both predicted results for the final 10 games. I want to bring yours up first, Mark, and if you want to go through them, we haven't gone for the actual score, just the overall result. If anyone follows us on Twitter, you'll know how bad we are at predicting scores every week. We never get it right, so we haven't gone down that path on this one, so you can ignore that. But this is Mark's right here, and I'll let you go through those results, Mark.
Yeah, so look, I'm going to be honest. This is probably tinged with a little bit of realism about who we're playing, our particular form, the form of other teams. I think we've all shown that we've got some potential in us, all the teams that we're playing, and we've all shown that we're actually capable of completely dropping the ball as well. Otherwise, we wouldn't still be in with a shout of a European spot, or some of these teams would have walked away with it by now. But yeah, look, I've gone a draw against West Ham. I think West Ham are playing well enough. I think they've got enough players that are probably, again, either putting themselves in the shop window or trying to push up the league and secure that European spot for next season. I want to get a win against against Everton. I think Everton, depending on what happens with all of the financial fair play points deductions and stuff, they could really sort of eventually crumble based purely and simply on the fact that I think they've played really well, given that for those on the audio, Craig's praying for it on the video there. Look, I think they could easily crumble if things do get taken away from them again, given how much effort they've put in and how well they've played. To kind of get back up into the fact that, yeah, they've had a points deduction and they're still safe. But if they get another one, then that may be a step too far. I'm hoping we get 3 points against them. I've gone for a draw against Fulham and a draw against Spurs. They're both decent teams. I have horrors against Fulham away from home, purely and simply because I remember that Mark Schwarzer game where he pulled off like 29 saves in a game, and we literally had no hope of scoring if we played for another 90 minutes. Man United, I think we'll lose. I think Man United at home, us away at Old Trafford's just a bridge too far. Like Sheffield, I'm going for a win. It's at home. We belted them earlier in the season. I think they are starting to fall away. They could well be relegated quite quickly in the coming games. A win against Burnley away, again, they're starting to fall away and reality is catching up with them. I've gone for our annual 3 points against Brighton at home. I'm getting a draw against Brentford away and finishing the season up with another point against Crystal Palace. Brentford and Crystal Palace both away to finish the season off is not a nice combination. Two trips to the capital, but it is what it is. It's still a lot easier than the start to the season, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, so you've got a total of 17 points out of a maximum of 30 there. If those results were to come off, would you be happy with that? Or were you thinking, you know what, we probably should have gotten a few more? Or are you going to wait until the games have been played and assess the performance?
I guess I'd probably wait. The big one is that Sheffield, Burnley, Brighton run of games. If we can get 9 points from those games. But, you know, look, the points total I'd be happy with. I think if we can get 17 points, I think we'll be in there or thereabouts. I don't think any of the other teams, unless somebody puts a massive run together, I think we'll actually be sort of knocking on the door of a European spot, especially given what some of the other clubs have as their run-ins. But look, I guess after the Man United game, I think that'll tell us a little bit more about where we sit. If we don't win any of those games, if we only manage a couple of draws, if we don't get any wins at all, then I think it's going to be a pretty hard run into the season. I think we need to get some momentum up and we need to get it quick.
Well, if your results come off as they are, that would get us finishing the season on 57 points, which last season would have put us in 10th. Now seasons obviously vary in terms of how many points I needed to qualify for Europe, and Who knows, 57 points may well just be enough to do so. Fingers crossed it is. We'll move on to my predictions now. So mine's not too dissimilar to yours, to be honest. But I've gone for us to win our next two home games, which is against West Ham and Everton. I think they are two huge, huge games. We owe Everton one after a trip shit show at Goodison Park earlier on in the season. Hopefully he's back fighting fit for that one, and he can curl one past old T-Rex arms again. That would be absolutely amazing. A draw at Fulham. I think we'll lose at home to Spurs. I don't know why. That's the only game I've got us to lose in this prediction. Man United away, we'll get a draw. And 3 points against Sheffield United at home, Burnley away and Brighton at home, with a draw away to Brentford and Palace. Again, Brentford ending the season with a total of 19 points, which again would have us finishing in ninth, I believe, looking at last season's table. Those 10 fixtures there, Mark, if we were to end the season in 10th, 9th, or anywhere outside of the European slots, the season would be deemed as a failure, you reckon?
It's a backward step. I think most of us would have assumed last season. I mean, look, at the beginning of last season, we would have all taken like kind of 10th to 9th finish, like secured our Premier League status, build on that a little bit, be mid-table, and then kind of build on it this season and hopefully push for a European spot for next season. I think we've kind of taken a bit of a step back. So by most counts, that's probably a backward step, and it is technically a failure. It's difficult to kind of put that on. I mean, I know fans are starting to get irate. I know there's question marks over Eddie Howe. I know that people are starting to get a little bit impatient with the excuses and the injuries and why aren't we rotating squads and all of that. I mean, if you do a deep dive into who we've got available and who's got proper fitness and who's in form, it's still pretty obvious why we're struggling. I think mentally, I think we're really drained. I think as a club in general, I think we're all kind of suffering from a long, hard season where we've had a lot of adversity. And I think one thing after another has just compounded everything that we've been doing. We need like a reset button, basically. We need to finish the season off, draw a line under it, hit the reset switch, and then just go, right, let's build for the next season. If we can hit the ground running next season, maybe we get an easier fixture list than we had this season to start the season off and gain a little bit of that momentum back. We've just never really got that momentum going this season. So it's always been, you know, we've had a great result and then someone's got injured again and we've got nobody to come in for them. And it's like, it's every time we've had that positive, it's been like something's gone wrong, and it's really been sapping of that motivation and that energy. And I think we thrive on that as a club. We've seen games where we've looked a bit lackluster, and it's been that we've been really lethargic. And I'm hoping that we're getting some players back fit, and maybe we can start to kind of gain a little bit of that momentum back. My margin for a failure season is if we finish in the bottom half. I think, and if we finish in the top half, I think it's been underwhelming, but I wouldn't say a failure. If we finish in any kind of European spot, then I think given the circumstances, you're going to have to say that that's some minor success, even though, you know, we were a Kieran Trippier brain fart away from making the semifinals of the League Cup. We've had insanely tough draws in all three cup competitions that we've been in this season. And we had the hardest start to the season on paper of any Premier League club. Yeah. You know, it's not been an easy season. So look, if we can string a couple of wins together and just see where it takes us, that's all I'm asking for at the moment.
Absolutely. Now, not many teams play Man City four times a season. We're going to be playing Man United three times this season. You know, it's absolutely crazy, the fixture list this season, as you've mentioned. It's going to get a little bit lighter because obviously we're no longer in any cup competitions or anything, so they can absolutely 100% focus from game to game. There is now zero distractions, so Eddie can knuckle down and get everything going. Other thing as well is European competition or qualification, sorry, could also be hindered by the finalists of the FA Cup. because Chelsea, you've got Coventry, so you think they're going to get to the final. They're going to beat Coventry. You'd at least expect so. Mm. So that automatically puts them in Europe because they're going to be the runners-up or the winners of the competition. The winner of Man City or Man United go through to the final. Now, Man City will qualify for the Champions League, so they're not going to want that European competition. But if Man United go through to the final and they win it, they're then going to get the Europa League. So I really don't know how the trickle-down system works for cup winners or anything like that. It's really confusing. So if there's anybody out there who knows how that works, please let us know in the comments. Because if we can finish 8th, for example, and still qualify for Europe, even if it's a Europa Conference League, I would call that a successful season.
Yeah. No, for sure. Look, any kind of European football for us at this stage is just that added bonus. I think we weren't expecting Champions League. It was great, but you know, let's be honest, it came way too early. We weren't ready for it. I think we've suffered from the just the competitiveness of that particular group that we were in. You know, we weren't able. You look at Aston Villa in Europe this season, and everyone was saying, "Oh, look, they're playing every week as much as Newcastle are," but they're making like loads of changes because they're playing like literally. And I mean no disrespect to the clubs they were playing, but they're playing relative minnows in European terms. And then we're playing like, you know, so they can play their reserves and swap a few players in and out. We didn't have that luxury, otherwise we were going to get tonked. So we've had to play all Man United, sort of PSG, Borussia Dortmund, AC Milan. You know, we've had like European royalty almost in all of our group games with that. And, you know, we weren't able to sort of rotate. And then before long, we had half a squad available out of the players that we have on the roster because everyone was dropping like flies. So it's frustrating this season, I think. I don't want us to lose sight of how good last season was and how if we reset the clock, go again next season, you know, it might not be what a lot of fans want to hear. You know, we obviously have that ticking time bomb over our head of 100 million release clause for Bruno. But look, if that happens, then it'll be gutting. But I'm kind of almost at the point where I'm comforting myself to know that if that does happen, it'll be Man City. So we're not having to watch him play for Liverpool or Man United. And then we've got a plenty of money in the bank to go out and find some replacements. And even if we sign Bruno for 35 million, if we sign him, you know, people are saying, oh, you're not going to find another Bruno. It's like, well, we found a Bruno for 35 million. So if we've got 100 million for him and we've done our scouting again, okay, even if the new players that come in, we should be able to sign 3 or 4 players of that amount of money, even if they don't hit that Bruno level. Our squad as a whole is better, and that has to be the key. It's constantly moving forward and improving season on season, and this season hasn't been because of whatever setbacks we've had, whatever, you know, criticisms anyone may have of last summer's transfer window, and you know, players we should have bought, could have bought, would have bought, who we let go, whatever. It's water under the bridge now. We need to be looking forward, and we need to be positive about, you know, the owners are still on track. They've still got their plan. There's still talk about stadium increases, new sponsorship deals, a new training ground. You know, we get tired of saying it, but the future is bright. We're looking ahead, and you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, we finish the season off on a brighter note, and everyone kind of goes into the summer with some renewed optimism.
Again, completely agree. And one last question before we wrap this up and we head off. Regardless of where we finish in the season, whether it be in Europe or outside of Europe, is Eddie Howe the right man to take us forward from the first game next season?
Tricky question. So, yes, I think he's got plenty of credit in the bank. For me, he definitely needs to be starting next season as manager. He needs the opportunity to show that he's learned from mistakes, from adversity, from the experience in Europe this season. Are there question marks over player choices, tactical inflexibility, substitutions? Yes, I think there's enough that's gone on now where, you know, he doesn't get a free ride. He doesn't get a free pass. There are question marks. If we're not winning games, then, you know, questions will be asked, and I'm happy with that. I do still think he's the right man for the job to try and take us forward. But you mentioned it before. There's no distractions now, so there's no excuses. The excuse of, oh, everyone's injured, starting to run thin a bit because we're starting to get players back. The excuse that, oh, we don't have enough time to train the players and work with them on tactics during the week. Well, we're playing one game a week now, so that excuse has gone as well. So I think we need to see an uplift in attitude, in aggression of the players. We're missing big key players in Joe Linton, Nick Pope still. I understand that. And it probably affects the way we play, certainly the way we defend, more than I would like it to. But again, it comes down, Eddie Howe needs to prove that he's got some flexibility and some tactical awareness about changing things up when it doesn't go right. Because if he keeps on doing what he's doing and the excuse is, oh, well, we don't have these two players fit, so we can't play, that kind of indicates more of a, well, I fell into this formation and we kind of like hit on lucky because Kieran Clark got sent off and we had to put Joe Linton in midfield. And hey, I had no idea he would be able to do that. And so you're kind of hoping, like, we gave Eddie Howe a lot of credit for how well he had all of the players playing last season. He needs to get them back into that mode. He needs to get them focused and needs to get that energy up. And if he can't find a way to do that, then there will be criticisms, and I think some of it will be justified. But for me, still starts next season as Newcastle manager.
Yep. Again, 100% agree with that one. There's no better man for the job. And all these media links with Jose Mourinho, again, I touched on that a good few weeks ago when that was a bit of a non-starter and he just brushed up against our chairman at the Formula One a few weeks ago. That was a nothing situation as well. Media making a mountain out of a molehill. I am 100% still in Team Eddie's camp, and I will be until literally the wheels fall off, as the phrase now is. The wheels are still very firmly on, as far as I'm aware, and long that may continue. But that will do us for tonight. We've covered quite a bit, Mark. Thank you very much for joining me. I'll let you go and enjoy that glass of wine that's got your name on, apparently.
Yeah. It's been a tough day, budget talks and everything at work. So a bit stressed out. So a nice little glass of vino to finish the night off, I think.
Nice one. Well, I'm going to go get myself a nice Ginga beer. That's my favorite tip of the minute. But I'm going to get myself one of those. And thanks to everyone who has tuned in or listened on the audio segment. Again, if you don't already, please subscribe to the channel. Give us a 5-star review and follow us on all the major social channels. And let us know in the comments if you do plan on going to the two games down in Melbourne. We'd love to meet up with as many fans as we possibly can. And we will see you all on the next one, which I believe will either be an international roundup mixed with a West Ham preview as well. But keep an eye out, hit that notification bell to be notified when we next do a video on YouTube. But again, Mark, thanks very much for joining. I will see you on the next one.
Cheers, mate. Take it easy.